y'all.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
This is Zach.
And this is Stuart.
And this is the Back Row Super Show. This is the main show, episode 31. The topic for today is Kill a Kill.
Kill a Kill. Up.
Or just lots of yelling with scissor swords and nudity.
That's right. And you know what? I have worn my best for today. I have a one-star Goku uniform, which turns me into a fantastic podcaster.
Yeah.
A giant mic that I scream. I mean, screaming good things. Because at first I was thinking, maybe I was just going to not wear any clothes at all and be part of the nudist beach. But we don't want to be two naked guys just sitting in a basement.
Yeah, I've already got the nudity on lock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I couldn't tell with all the hair.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really a problem. just a little bit of background history.
Yep.
This show originally came out in 2013, so
right.
it's a little bit ago. Mm-hmm. We will probably talk about spoilers, so
we'll try to keep it on the down low. There's a couple of spoilers that I would like to avoid.
Yo, sure, yeah.
Especially in the third act, because I feel like that's when it really kind of ramps up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it moves very quickly through the third act.
Mm-hmm.
This was produced by Trigger, which, if anyone doesn't know, Trigger is a animation studio that is made of former Gainax employees. They
yeah.
did things like Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Which there is a lot of reference to in this.
Yeah, they yeah. also worked on Gurren Lagann, so you can
mm-hmm.
see they kind of have a wheelhouse. If you've never seen Gurren Lagann, it tackles a lot of the same, like, terrible secret of space that is in both this and also Evangelion.
Yes.
And that's just kind of their wheelhouse of animation.
Yeah, they also have done a couple of other series that I love. They did Panties and Stockings with Garter Belt.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, that's something that I might have to get you to watch. It's
okay.
a very, again, a unique anime style.
Sure.
Which Kill la Kill has a great anime style.
It's definitely got a look.
It does. They also did My Little Witch Academia.
They did. I had that further in the notes.
Yeah.
They,
which is another, like, really good anime. I really
yeah.
enjoyed it.
Yeah, and Little Witch Academia is one of the shows that in Japan, maybe a few years ago, like 2015-ish,
mm-hmm.
Had a grant for people to come up with brand new animes, and so there were a lot of production studios that were formed briefly just to put out, like,
oh, nice.
Little Witch. It's a full show now, but it also had its, like, pilot or whatever
mm-hmm.
was just a 22-minute episode.
Yeah, and it's even made a movie, too, like
yeah.
a straight-to, you know, TV movie, but
yeah.
It's another series that I really enjoy. It's very cutesy, and
yeah.
it's got that whole kind of, like, Harry Potter vibe to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Kill la Kill, the anime, came out in October of 2013,
yeah.
and it ran until March of 2014, 24 episodes.
Yes, and, 2013 was actually a decline in anime.
Yes.
Some people, there are people on different camps that fight each other, basically, saying that this was the anime that kind of reinvigorated people.
Yeah, so this is one of the ones, like Stuart said, that got a lot of people back into anime, especially in the American market.
Mm-hmm.
The other one would obviously be the other Trigger show called Little Witch Academia.
Yeah.
And as far as American audiences go with this American renaissance, you'll hear people throw out Attack on Titan, Little Witch, Madoka, Gurren Lagann. All of these are kind of responsible for
a
declining anime audience that came back.
Yes, yeah, a resurgence into the anime fandom.
Yeah, and I don't know how many of these are new viewers, because these shows are ones that I've heard in conjunction with people who used to watch anime and then dipped out after Naruto.
Yeah. Yeah, Naruto was a hard watch.
Yeah.
I will tell you, I've watched all of Naruto and all of Naruto Shippenpo, and I'm not a better man for it. I'm not. I'm probably a worse man because of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
I could have been doing something else with that time. Yeah. Could have been solving cancer.
Well, I mean, that's a stretch, but okay, sure. So this show won lots of awards, especially for the manga, because there was a manga that ran from October 2013 to March of 2015, so it's three volumes. It ran longer than the show, but it was put out by the same people, so I don't know if the volumes cover the same as the show does, because I haven't read the volumes.
I believe that there were some fillers that were cut, and the thing was, like, there are still fillers in this 24-episode series. Yeah. I feel like it probably could have been cut in half.
Yeah, I think when I was watching it, I felt like this was more along the lines of like a Madoka, like 12-episode type season.
Because it does kind of sag in the middle a bit.
It does. It gets very heavy in the second act, which it just...
But I do feel like it kills it in the third act. Like, after, I think, episode 17, that's when just everything starts ramping up. And there is not a dull moment from 17 to 24.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. Mm-hmm. Now...
And again, you can find this on Netflix at the moment.
Yes, it's on Netflix right now. I don't know when they cycle out their contracts. They... Mm-hmm. Netflix plays everything close to the vest, so
Aniplex actually owns the licensing for this particular show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
Oh, no, I meant their licensing in terms of how long they have things on there. How long they license it from people.
Yeah.
Now, the same writer and director for Gurren Lagann, so like I said, there's going to be a lot of through line in terms of what it covers.
Mm-hmm.
Kat Bailey, who is a reviewer for IGN, referred to this as Magical Girl anime on speed.
It is. I was actually going to ask you what category you think this anime falls into.
It's 100... So it's like the Evangelion of magical girls, it is. I think, because...
It is definitely Evangelion, a magical girl... anime.
Yeah, I mean, Evangelion is a mech anime, even though it's... That seems a little bit too dismissive, because a lot of mech is just, like, fluff pieces, and just like, look how big my guns are!
Yeah.
But there's a deeper meaning to it, whereas, like, Magical Girl anime, I'm not as familiar with it. My wife has talked me into watching Sailor Moon Crystal, which I love.
Yeah.
Madoka is also another Magical Girl anime.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, it's not really my go-to in terms of genre.
Yeah, but I can definitely appreciate a good magical girl.
Yeah.
And I definitely agree that this is magical girl on speed.
Yeah.
With a lot of comedy thrown in with action as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, there is a 2019 video game planned.
Mm.
It was announced at Anime Expo in June of last year.
I did not know that.
So, look forward to that.
Yeah. I wonder what kind of, is it going to be like a fighting game? Oh, yes, I did hear about that.
It is
going to be a fighting game. It's going to be like a 3D sort of fighting game. Where,
like Pokken?
More like Naruto Shippenpo.
Never played it.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yes, it's kind of like Pokken in the sense that it's 3D at the very beginning, but then when you clash in Pokken, it turned into like a 2D sort of fighting game.
Yeah.
So it's just 3D fighting game. But there's a cool mechanic where you can kind of clash with two characters, and then you basically have, like, a speech-off where you're both, like, telling each other...
You're monologuing?
Yeah. Well, you're monologuing with your ideas, with your, like, ideology.
So is it just like a dialogue tree, then, that you build your argument out of? Kind of like Burning Wheels?
No, it's more like Rock, Paper, Scissor, where pick a particular, particular ideology. And then the other person picks it, too, and then depending on, like, who picked which counter, you would win.
Okay.
But it's a really cool sort of, like, scene to it. But yeah, I with the little fighting game news that I take in, I actually saw that, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, a word of warning if you want to watch this show, it's not great necessarily for introducing someone to anime without giving them the wrong idea. There's a lot of nudity in this anime.
There's a lot of fan service. Yeah. I will say it's magical girls, but they're strippers. Like, they have their stripper uniforms on.
Rather than dressing up like sailors, they dress up like strippers.
Yeah. And especially the transformation scenes can be a little...
jarring?
Yeah. That's a good word.
They throw a lot at you at once.
Yeah.
And
again, when I was researching this, there's a lot of people on two different sides where one side is, this isn't a deep, like a deep thought anime. Just sort of go with it and go with its wackiness and just enjoy the ride. But then there's a lot of other people who are saying, well, if you do that, you kind of lose some of the themes and some of the deeper meaning to it. And I do believe that, like, this anime does have some deeper meaning to it.
I don't know if it's got too many layers, though.
I don't think there's many layers to it, but I do think that there is some, like, deeper thought to it.
Yeah.
Where you can enjoy it on a quasi-intellectual basis, but there is a lot of just, like, wackiness of just going with the flow.
Yeah. I mean, whereas, and I know I keep, like, this is the well that I come from with anime is pulling from Evangelion in terms of...
We will need to do an episode on Evangelion. Yeah, you know that, right?
Point. I know. At some point. But Evangelion has this focus on nihilism, and there's through lines in there. There's a philosophical line of thought that's kind of come up in the past few years where it's debating the morality of being alive at all.
Yeah.
And so Evangelion is kind of this nihilistic look at the relationships that form between people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything as deep as that in this.
Nothing as deep as that in this. But I do think that there's, like, some surface themes. Like, the life fibers. The life fibers are these red fibers that are basically put into clothes.
Yeah.
Depending on how many fibers you have, there are uniforms.
Yeah.
Now, this anime does take place at a high school. And
yeah, but it's fantasy high school. It's not in our world.
Yeah, and again,
it kind of is because they reference cities in Japan.
They do, but it's a very loose representation of our world. This anime does parody a lot of things.
Yeah,
like it didn't have to take place in a high school. It could have taken place in
military
a
base
or
temple,
just
yeah.
Any random thing, but I think they were sort of parodying a lot of other different animes, and they're like, let's put it in the high school.
Yeah.
Because that's where, like, 80% of animes take place in, is high school. Especially when you're a magic girl genre.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's these life fibers that they put into particular uniforms, and then those life fibers give you powers. Now, the life fibers are red, and there's a big theme of fate that is in this particular series.
Yeah.
Of, like, following fate, trying to defy fate. And I do believe that it is a reference to, like, the Greek...
I mean, they have a character that's... I forget her title. I think it's Atelier. She's a seamstress.
Yeah.
So she has scissors that cut threads of life fiber.
Yeah, of fate, basically. Yeah. And then there's the whole, like, destiny fate about the main character, Ryuko, where she is on this quest of vengeance.
Yeah.
Where she's trying to avenge the death of her father.
Right.
Which goes into a kind of another trope of she had a strained relationship with her father,
mm-hmm.
but at the end, she goes through hell and back to avenge her father.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's the main character, Ryuko. She has one half of her father's, I guess, grand invention, the scissors.
Yeah, the scissor sword.
Yeah. So she has one half of the scissor sword, and she's trying to avenge her father. She goes to the school, the high school, whose name escapes me at this moment. I would probably butcher the name since it's a Japanese name, and my pronunciation of Japanese is quite
atrocious.
Yeah, there we go.
So I mean, basically, the story is the story starts with Ryuko showing up into town.
Yeah.
And this high school is better described as a fortress, but it's a place where fighters go.
Yeah.
To get better.
It's an island off Japan, Hano City.
Yeah. And so there's a city that's built up around this high school, but mm-hmm. the high school is like a, you think of like a military base with huge fortified walls and stuff. The city's kind of grown up around it.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's reached this high school who basically is run by the student council.
Yeah.
And the student president.
Yeah.
Which is Sariko.
Sariko.
Yeah. And she is the student president, and she has like this elite four group who run clubs basically.
Yeah,
and they all have 3-star Goku or uniforms.
Yeah. And clubs, just as an aside, in Japan, in high school, clubs are, they're social groups, but they're for... The show kind of makes fun of how niche some of the clubs can get.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I think there's a president of, like, the people that supply products to the gardening club. If I remember right.
No, yeah, like, I think he's the Guardian Club.
Okay,
I think
it's so just it's straight just the up the okay, Guardian so Club. That must have been a subtitle or a dubbing issue.
Oh, did you watch it in sub? Or
yeah,
dub?
I watched it in dubs.
Oh, okay.
Just because that way I can be doing other things while I'm listening to what's going on with
yeah.
the characters.
Yeah, yeah.
But it it pokes fun at this the high school slice of life animes with the presidents of the gardening club
mm-hmm.
and the model airplane club and things like that.
But they all, like, the club presidents have these uniforms that give them superhuman powers, basically.
Yeah.
And it's usually themed around their club.
Yeah.
Like, the tennis club, the person has, like, a tennis racket as a weapon.
Yeah. One of the generals or lieutenants, I guess, of Sariko is she's dressed like a stripper version of a majorette.
Yeah.
Because she is the president of the marching band club.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or the music club.
Marching band, yeah.
The marching band, yeah.
She's part of the marching band. And that's the thing is, a lot of these, like, transformations, when they do transform, it does give them, like, you know, a 30-second... I guess, just transformation. And a lot of these clothes do become very skimpy, and there's a lot of fan service.
Except for the marching band president. Do you remember what hers turns into? And Ryuko is like, how is that a uniform? Is it turns into a jet plane.
Oh.
Like, it turns into, like, a jet mecha.
Yeah, I think there's, like, parts that transform.
Yeah.
But she actually ends up, Ryuko, her abilities make her into a jet plane as well.
Yeah.
There are parts, yeah. But there's also fan service for the guys, too. So there's some guy transformation. And she ends up meeting this, like, resistance.
Called Nudist Beach.
Nudist Beach, yeah. One of the teachers at that high school is, like, a double agent. Who ends up being part of the Nudist Beach.
He's the leader of Nudist Beach,
is he?
I think.
Okay.
Yeah, because her father was working with them.
Because
the reason they're called Nudist Beach is all of the freedom fighters are naked throughout, and they're mainly men.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you get to see some fantastic abs.
Yeah.
Do you love the glowing nipples? Like, for
yeah,
the guys?
Yeah, like, for the guys, when it goes, bing!
Yeah.
Yeah. So their ideology is that the life fibers that are infused in clothes are an alien intelligence that's mm-hmm. guiding humanity to a certain singularity point.
Yes.
Where they can take over the planet.
And
so,
like Evangelion, the main villain's base is underground.
Yeah.
Underneath a giant, basically alien.
Yeah.
This time it's not on a cross, though.
Yeah, there's no religious iconography in this.
Actually, there are some religious, like...
Is there?
Yeah, not as heavy as Evangelion, but there are a few religious, like...
Oh, okay.
Just little small tidbits around.
Oh, okay, yeah. So it's probably imagery and not, like, actual full-blown, like, Tree of Life.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or an alien called Adam being like, he was the first and he got stabbed by the spear of,
Oh, well, that's, we'll save that for an Evangelion episode. because that's way too confusing and, So the Freedom Fighters of Nudist Beach do not wear any clothes because they do not want to risk any sort of contamination or control from these alien beings.
Yeah, and being naked means that you're vulnerable. Like, there is a vulnerable aspect of being naked.
Yeah.
And there's a humbling aspect of that, too, which they kind of touch a little bit on themes.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the Freedom Fighters, they run around with, they have, like, guns and stuff, so a lot of them are wearing gun belts that are, like, conspicuously placed to hide genitals, but but one of them is, one of the weapons they use is this tank that you lie forward in,
but
your entire back end is exposed.
So it's, yeah.
But you're lying forward, like you're on a luge.
It's basically,
or bobsled.
Yeah, it's a mech that you put your pelvis in, basically. Yeah. And it walks you around as you are vertical, and you're shooting. Yeah, it seems very uncomfortable. And yeah, your derriere is out there for everybody to see.
Yep.
And again, yeah, it's mainly guys, so it's a lot of the fan service for the dudes as well. But yeah, I will say animation is fantastic. It is on point.
It is. There are no, like, dropped frames or, like, cell errors and stuff.
Yeah.
It's really well animated.
And there are some animation choices that I think they choose that people... So, when, again, I was doing research on this particular series, a lot of people were saying that their animation style drops during the middle portion of Kill la Kill. Where they decide to do a couple of, like, still frames, they do some...
Oh, I did notice that, okay. Yeah.
They do some, like, 2D animations.
Yeah.
And a lot of people theorize that maybe they weren't, stringent on their budget, so they kind of blew their budget at the very beginning, and then they had to make some cuts because they knew that they were going to have to spend a lot of money at the end, but... Personally, and again, this is just me being personal, saying my own opinion, because I'm just a podcaster.
Yeah.
I think those are stylistic choices. Because,
I would agree, too, because they don't stick out like they do in, like, Dragon Ball Z.
They don't, and seeing a lot of their other works, Trigger's other works, I think that they duplicate a lot of that particular work. Like, if you watch Panties and Stockings, you'll see a lot of that same kind of stylistic choices in that particular show.
Yeah.
And it does... It enhances it. At least it enhanced it for my viewing experience. I know that, you know, it might not for other people, but I thought it was a good stylistic choice, and I enjoyed it.
There were no sections of this show while I was watching it, even though, like I said, I feel like it could have been trimmed down to, like, 12 or 13 episodes, where I was like, God, they must have outsourced that to rush this out. Like, there were no, like, everything seemed intentional, so I guess that's why it didn't stick out to me.
Yeah, and I will say the second act is probably the part that's the slowest. It's when they start fighting other schools throughout Japan when they start, like, trying to take over.
That 100% seems like filler.
Yeah. And I think that could be cut out. There were some, like, highlights, especially when they were trying to take over that one city who fought with money. Just, like,
Oh, yeah, just, buying their way, yeah.
Yeah, just, like, piles of money, and they were shooting money at people and stuff like that.
Yeah, they were just basically paying the populace to shoot.
Yeah, them. Which, it was an interesting theme on, like, capitalism and stuff like that. Yeah. Which was interesting, but a lot of that stuff, it was, it did feel like fillers. And at the beginning, when she's kind of, like, working her way up through the ranks, like, fighting low-tier,
trash mobs.
Well, low tier, yeah. Club members.
Yeah.
It was sort of like Monster of the Week, of where it's like, oh, it's a new club member. She's got to fight. I wonder if she's going to win. Oh, she did win because, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, like, one of the running gags that kind of got old to me was there's a student that treats Ryuko as senpai.
She's her, the best girl!
Well,
she is... Oh.
She, so...
Well,
not her, but I'm just... So
I'm talking about Mona, or Mo... Monica?
This girl that she's living with, her family is super supportive, even though they're very poor.
Yeah.
And they let her live with them, and the mom is always feeding them croquets.
Trash food.
It's trash food. It's basically like beef croquet. It's fried food that you can just kind of assemble into like little potato shapes, yeah, and feed to people. And her brother and father spend most of their time ogling the Ryuko 16?
Yeah.
Yeah, and like trying to catch her naked because they're all living in a tight space.
Yeah, and
they, occasionally, you know, you'll walk in on someone undressing or in the restroom or whatever. But like they go out of their way to kind of quote unquote accidentally walk in on her, and again, it just gets old.
I think it's a parody. It is a parody.
Yeah, I know they're touching on the trope of, like, creepy old man,
yeah,
and pervy younger brother, but, like, it's like, okay, I got it. Like,
and you know, in Japan, yeah, living space is very small and...
Sure.
Yeah, and I do think that's kind of, like, a parody, but I do agree with you that it does get taken a little too far.
Yeah.
But,
because, again, she's 16.
Mako is best girl. Mako is a fantastic character. I love her. She is the, I guess the comedy relief. She is, the wacky sidekick character. But some
who
of her...
Who treats Ryuko as senpai.
Yeah, but some of her speeches are fantastic.
They're so overwrought, it's hilarious.
I know, it's... Because the thing that they do is they, like, put a spotlight on her, take away all the background, and she does all of these just weird body movements, and again with the,
she's being very overdramatic, and, yeah, like, it's playing up that trope in anime of, like, the monologue that shifts everything.
Yeah, and it just, and her ideological, like, debates are fantastic, and I thought she was like one of the main centerpieces of this show. Also, another main centerpiece was the music. The music
fantastic. Is very good. If we were not using our own music at this point, I would love to download some of the music for this for episode fillers. But we're using all of our own music to avoid any copyright.
Yeah. There's, like, one of the main, theme, or one of the main, like, theme songs, which is, I believe, I Lost My Way, which is interesting because Ryuko does kind of, like, lose her way a little bit. Like, with the whole theme of revenge, she does kind of become,
her perspective changes. Yes. I wouldn't say she gets lost. So, there is a stretch in the show where she does get lost.
Yeah.
I think her perspective shifts once she gets the whole picture,
mm-hmm,
though. The whole backstory of what's going on, right?
Yeah.
And things that she's just been told.
Yeah, because without spoiling anything, I will say that when you watch this, you can sort of realize, oh, there's a lot more going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And it's not until the third act when it actually pays off. And that's why I think the middle act's kind of weak, because it doesn't really focus on the story. It's kind of a side venture deal. And you're just kind of like, can't you get back to the main story? Because I know something's going to happen. I have my theories, but I just want you to be like, oh, you're right, or you're wrong, or something like that. So,
well, I feel that that second act, like the, what, 10 episodes that they focus on?
Yeah.
They could have trimmed that down to, like, one and giving you the same effect.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I think this is a good 12-episode series when things could have been trimmed a little bit. And then, you know, super focused. But I love all the characters. I love the character designs. I think all of, like, the student body is fantastic. There's this one guy who's part of the Kendo Club, who's this, like, sword fighter.
Oh, yeah, the guy who is invincible.
Oh, quote-unquote invincible. Yeah. whose, like, ideologies, like, take over his life, and he ends up, I'm not sure if this is a spoiler, but he ends up blinding himself because he's so reliant on his sight. He's like, well, I'm just going to lose my sight. And it's for the cause. Like, it's for his cause that he feels that he's pretty much dedicated to. He eliminates his sight. And it does make him into a better fighter. And there's puns that are hilarious. There's the part of the student body council is this guy who, like, enforces the rules. I'm not 100% sure what he is, but he's, like, into
BDSM.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's a masochist.
Yeah. And they end up throwing rule books at people, and they're, like, crushing things because the rule books are ironclad.
Yeah.
Puns.
Yeah. No, I think he was my favorite of the lieutenants.
Yeah.
Him and the marching band president were, I think, my two favorite lieutenants.
Yeah, because she has a very unique, I guess, relationship with the student president as well. Being that they're, like, best friends. They were best friends back when they were in elementary school and stuff.
Yeah.
And,
the tailor is probably the freakiest character. There's this character that's introduced. Sarako, the student body president's mother, is a fashion designer.
Yes.
And she has a tailor. She is working with
Ray.
Ray is her name?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the tailor is named Ray, and Ray and Sarako's mother are working with or for, like, maybe they're the most heavily entrenched because they work in fashion, working for these life fibers to turn the planet into a home or a host for these things. And so the tailor...
And again,
basically just ignores all of the rules that have already been established when she gets in. Just, like, she can cut through their life fibers.
And the funny thing is, she also ignores the rules of animation. She's usually the one who's mainly in 2D.
Oh, yeah, she breaks the fourth wall a lot.
She breaks the fourth wall a lot. Like, there's a scene where they're basically... Two characters are talking from a distance, but... To emphasize the scene, they sort of do, like, a cut where they're both facing each other. But they do, like, a solid line cut. But she ends up interacting with that other character through the cut.
Yeah.
She is, I think it's best described as a Looney Tunes character, where she's able to sort of, like...
Oh, yeah, she bends physics and stuff around. Yeah.
Yeah. And, again, that's where I saw a lot of the complaints about the animation, because she's the one who usually ends up being, like, 2D, and she's very cardboardy, but I think that just fits her character. And that's why that, like, animation style was used on her.
Yeah, I feel like she had to be, like, the ideas that she presents in the show have to be illustrated in such a way that it looks like the animation is dropping, because she's doing things... like breaking the fourth wall and interacting with characters when she shouldn't be.
And again, this gets into a little bit of spoilers, because at the probably the first, the second, I guess, act of this particular series, you really think that the student body president is the main villain, but it ends up being her mother, who is this fashion designer who is working for this alien being to put in fibers to particular clothes, and then when people wear those clothes, the fibers kind of take over the mind and body of these people. And that's why Nudist Beach is, you know, nude, because they know that they don't want their bodies or minds being taken over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I realize here, listening back to the way we've described the plot, mm-hmm. this show sounds like a batshit.
And it is. Show.
It kind of is. Yeah. Like, it sounds like the most ridiculous thing, but it's very well written, yeah. I think.
As long as you're able and you're willing to go on its ride, you will have a fun time. Like, you will have to set aside or suspend your disbelief.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of things that they try to explain, and you're like, no, that doesn't work. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense. And that's probably when it's at its weakest, when it tries to explain itself.
Yeah.
Because we are in a world where we know that things can break reality and bend particular rules. Like, don't try to explain yourself and, like, try to, like, smart your way out of something. Yeah, like, we understand we're watching an anime. We are understanding that's very gonzo-y and that's out there, and just embrace that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I feel that's when it's at its weakest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Overall, I still think that it's a fantastic show. It might not be the one that you would want to be, hey, or, you know, approach someone who has never seen an anime before.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of tropes and commentary in this that...
There is.
You kind of have to already have seen enough anime to realize what they're poking fun at.
Yeah, that you realize that it is a parody of something, or that it's homaging certain things. Because, again, yeah. like, it does a lot of homages to Evangelion. Just because, you know, it worked with Gygax.
Gynax.
Not yeah. Gary Gygax. I was thinking of D&D.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't... And this is sort of where I kind of get on, like, either side. I don't think it was the anime that brought back anime. Like, I do think that it was a part of that, like, Renaissance movement. But I don't think it was, like, the sole anime that brought people back into anime.
I don't think it's the sole one. I think it's fair to say that if this is included on that list, I feel like a lot of the return anime viewers were watching this. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, you have to know the tropes that yeah. you're going into that they're poking fun at. And I feel like people who were coming back are people kind of in our age. Because, like, you know, I've not watched anime religiously since probably college. Mm. So I got pulled in by Monica, yeah. which is another one on that list that's cited frequently.
Yeah.
And Monica, just like this, plays with a lot of the magical girl tropes. And it's yeah. like you have to give it a couple of episodes before it turns. And then it's yeah. like, okay, I'm a disillusioned 30-year-old, so I really like what they're doing here.
Yeah, yeah. And I do think that it's probably one of Trigger's stronger series.
Yeah, I mean, I like Little Witch, but it's kind of too cutesy for my tastes.
Yeah.
I've only seen a handful of episodes of Gurren Lagann, and I'm not a huge fan.
Okay. I mean, you really have to kind of be in the mech genre to enjoy that.
And I'm not a huge mech fan, even though Evangelion's my favorite anime.
Yeah, but again, but that's like, not, like, your stereotypic. If you're like, my favorite anime was Gundam, and then you're like, I'm not a big fan of Gurren Lagann, I would be like, oh, that's kind of weird. But like,
yeah, I mean, Gurren Lagann, though, I feel like they telegraph what it's about too much that it's just like, well, I don't need to see that. I know where this is going, generally.
Yeah. I don't think Kill la Kill is really telegraphed.
No, I did not see the ending at all.
Yeah. I definitely think that it is a good series to watch. Would I buy it? I'm not 100% sure. I'd definitely stream it.
I wouldn't buy a body pillow or a wall hanging.
Oh.
At it. I mean,
how many body pillows do you have?
Oh, I don't have any.
Well, then you wouldn't buy any of them.
I wouldn't buy merchandise for this, and I can definitely see a body pillow being high on the list of merchandise for this show.
You don't have your Shinji body pillow?
No, I don't. There is one that I really want just because it's so bizarre, and I want people who are visiting my home to see it and be like, what the hell? There's one that has Starscream from Transformers on it. And boy, he's laid out all sexy-like.
I'm sure your wife would love that.
But there's not a whole lot of merchandising that I could see myself wanting. Like, I couldn't see myself picking up a t-shirt or something. Ooh, like that.
I would love a frame of this. Like a...
like a cell frame? Yeah. Like an original animation frame?
Wouldn't have to be original, but I would love, like, a particular, just a frame or, like, a still of the animation of a particular, like, fight scene that I really enjoyed.
So, at an anime con, if someone were selling a frame or a still or whatever from this show, and you could have one of the, or the writer that mm-hmm. wrote this show sign it,
oh,
only on the strength of this show. Like, if you didn't know anything else they did.
Yeah.
Do you think this is an anime that would draw anyone to get, like, an autograph of this show just on the strength of the show alone?
Yes. Yes, okay. I do. Again, I think the writing is good. There's definitely, like we were saying, there's parts that can be cut. But I do think that the writing's really good. I think the animation's fantastic. I think that they do a lot of stylistic choices that some people don't agree with, but I really enjoyed it. So I would definitely get I would love to get a frame, sell, and if somebody would sign it, yeah, I would be all about that.
Okay.
Again, I don't think I would actually buy the series to have in my collection.
Yeah.
But I would definitely recommend streaming it. Like, if you have Netflix or if you have Crunchyroll.
Oh, is it on Crunchyroll?
It is on Crunchyroll.
Does Crunchyroll have, like, every American release?
Yeah, they have a lot.
Okay.
Again, they don't have Evangelion. Because
Netflix got that.
Yeah. I'm going to be interested. Maybe we should do an episode when...
when that comes out, probably, because they're redubbing everything. Most of the original voice actors.
Yeah, but they're going to
one or two have died.
Yeah, but they're going to redub it. They're going to use the same lines, but it's going to be a different...
take. Like, yeah. A different, yeah.
Which is going to be interesting.
Because when that was being animated, they were just knocking those out of the door as quickly as possible.
Because they wanted to get it out.
Yeah, like, I've read before where with the American release specifically, I want to say that there are a couple of lines in there where the actors were like, yeah, they just took the first take, the scratch track take, and that's why I sound dead. Because I thought it was for levels.
Yeah.
Because they were just pushing it out the door. And they're like, this line doesn't... Whatever.
Yeah. We just need to get this out to make some money.
Netflix redubbing it will lend it the emotional weight that some of those movies have.
It'll give it a new breath of life.
Yeah.
So I'm really thrilled on watching that. I know I'm definitely going to probably marathon that.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go crazy afterwards. Because I remember when we marathoned, me and Zach used to live together. I'm pretty sure we've said that before, but... Yeah. We used to live together in college, and there was one night that we decided just to marathon Evangelion.
Yeah.
And this was the first time you saw it, right? Was that the first time?
No. No, that wasn't the first time I had seen it. It was the first time I had seen the movies, but I wanted to see the movies after seeing the show.
Yeah.
And so we marathoned the show, and then the two OVAs.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was going to go crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very well done show.
It is. It is a very well done show, and it's definitely a show that you think about afterwards.
Yeah.
I will say, with getting back on topic with Kill la Kill, it's probably not a show that I really like thought about after watching it.
Yeah, I like, didn't really want to go back and rewatch anything because, like, now I know the story, and so.
Mm-hmm.
The characters aren't really deep or nuanced enough for me to... Because they're poking fun at tropes,
yeah.
Actually. I didn't need to go back to revisit any of it. And I don't really feel like this is a show that 10 years from now I'll be like, you know what, I'm going to check in on Kill la Kill and see if I still like it.
Yeah. but it's definitely a show that I was happy that I saw.
Yeah.
So I could sort of have that understanding. And just... for the music and for the animation. And I really enjoyed Studio Trigger's work, so I'm really happy to, like, watch anything that they put out. But going back to what Zach was saying, I don't think I would revisit it.
Yeah.
But all in all, I would probably give it, like, a solid 8 out of 10. I would recommend it to people.
I think it'd be about a B-.
Yeah,
for me.
For you as well?
B-, yeah, as well. So 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, Kill la Kill. Again, I don't think we touched too much on spoilers, so I would highly recommend, if you haven't watched it and you listen to this and you're interested, to watch it. Because, yeah. Again, it's easily accessible with it being on Netflix.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, and even if you're not a big fan of anime, even if you wouldn't get some of the tropes that's making fun of, I still think it would be entertaining just on the basis of its music, its animation style, and its story building and character building. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So, with that, the book club book is Dr. Sleep, the sequel to the 1977 volume The Shining, but Dr. Sleep came out in the aughts or teens.
Yeah.
And
definitely listen to our podcast on The Shining, our book reports.
Yeah.
That was a great one, and it kind of goes hand in hand with Dr. Sleep.
Yeah. And as far as convention schedules go, we will be at Outlanticon on May 10th, 11th, and 12th.
Yep.
Looking forward
to that.
I'm looking forward to that. And we have a couple in the pipelines that we're just waiting to hear back from. So keep an eye out on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
We have our convention schedule posted at the top. It's pinned to the top. So you can kind of see where we'll be. It's linked to their pages. So you can click on there and go check out the con page. See if it's something you're interested in.
Yeah, see what it's about and see if it's something that you would enjoy going to.
Yeah.
And if you do, definitely give us a holler. We're always super happy to meet fans or listeners.
Yeah. So, with that, we will catch you guys later. Fill out the survey that's on the link to let us know what... games you like playing? I don't know. Oh, Nerd Fight. Nerd Fight. That's what I was thinking of.
Bam.
Sorry. Misfired. Sorry. Well, I have not had enough caffeine this morning. My neurons are not firing correctly yet.
No. Nerd Fight. We're doing Nerd Fights. It's always on our Facebook. We pit two IPs against each other.
Exactly.
Go vote.
Decide who your champion is.
Yeah. It's always super fun to see which ones succeed and which ones fail.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is.
Well, I mean, not like fail as in they weren't good.
It's just to see, it's always fun to see who's more popular versus another character.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll be back next week with another topic. The other main show topic is going to be The Guild.
Yeah.
Which is a web series that Felicia Day did. It's on Netflix right now.
Yeah.
All 6 seasons. And I say 6 seasons, that's really 6 episodes. And just check those out. The first season, I think, is 45 minutes because they're webisodes.
Yep.
And the others range about that, maybe 15, 20 minutes longer at the longest.
Yeah, so it's about 6 hours all in total.
Yeah, yeah, it's about 6 hours all in total. Super fun show. Just, it's easy to binge. And we'll talk about that next main show.
Sweet.
See you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.